Here's Terry coming. Come in, Terry. Come in, come in, come in, come in. These lads are doing a survey. They're doing a programme on their own. They're interviewing people, various occupations and things in Edinburgh. And it's going to be on a WW website eventually. Terry's our local undertaker, so don't get too smart. Terry will go for you. He's got his measuring tape in his pocket. Well, I was born in Edinburgh in 1946, so I'm 62 now. I went to school, local school at Preston Street. I mean, South Side, although I work in the South Side, but I was a South Side born in Simpson Maternity Pavilion, like thousands of other kids, you know, and so I'm a local boy. I was at Preston Street School, which is local school around the corner. And then I went to James Clark's, the secondary school, which is now long gone. It's actually been refurbished and developed into flats a long, long time ago. It's a school on the hill at St Leonard's behind the police station. And the actual police station stands on the part of the ground that was the annex for the school, which was the woodwork rooms and the metalwork rooms. I go back once a year to Preston Street to play Santa Claus for the kids at the Christmas party. I left James Clark School and I had really no idea, you know, what to do when I left school. And in these days, so you've got to remember this is early 1960s, 1961. Now, what they had then was they called it the Youth Employment Agency. It was like the equivalent of, you know, a careers officer. And you went up when you were a kid leaving school and there was lists of jobs on the wall. And you just sort of picked one. But jobs were easy to come by in these days, you know. I mean, it was, 85-90% employment. You could get a job, seriously, you could start a job at 9 o'clock in the morning. And if you didn't like it, you could leave at lunchtime and get another job. And the guy said, oh, we've been a jewel setter. And I didn't. Well, a jewel setter was putting stones in the diamond rings or something. I didn't fancy that. I said, well, what about a barber? I said, all right, I'll give it a try. And I got started an apprenticeship down in the Granton area of Edinburgh at Wardyburn with a chap called James Smeaton. There was a master hairdresser, and he signed me on as an indentured apprentice. Sweeping the street, the front door, and, you know, it was a daily ritual. But when he was a young man, apparently, he had a motorbike, a Panther motorbike. He had a crash, and a serious crash, and he lost one eye. And I mean, I'm not winding you up, boys. He had one eye, the glass eye, and this glass eye used to haunt me. I was only 16, 17, and there was three of us in the shop. And I'd be working away, and I'd look up, just look, I didn't mean look up, he'd sort of look, you know, and this eye, and I used to think he was watching me, but he wasn't really, it was a glass eye, it was sort of staring, it would take me ages to realise, because he had a glass eye. When I was a young man, it was Crew Cuts and Tony Curtis, the old-time movie actor. His style was very, very popular when I was a young lad. The American Flat Top, because there was a lot of GIs over here, just after the war. And then it moved on, you know, from the 60s when the Beatles came along, people started to grow their hair, grew it longer, so they had the Beatles styles. And then again, it changed to the punk, and I enjoyed doing the punk styles in the 70s. That was really good because you could colour their hair in spikes. And David Bowie, when he was at the height of his fame and had these, you know, the orange hair and the Ziggy Stardust and things like that, it was terrific. But it was a lot of fun getting spiking it up and making it orange and different colours with the punks. It was a lot of fun with that. And anyway, and then the mods were okay. Yeah, the mods were neat and tidy as opposed to the kind of sort of Beatles. And then beyond the Beatles, it was the hippie era, kind of 60s.
what do you call it?
Yeah, what do you call it?
Woodstock. The Woodstock era, and, you know. So the boys were really neat and tidy, like the small faces, you know. Rod Stewart, and that one. So they're like mod styles, then it changed again. And now they're just getting their heads shaved. Where are you going? France?
Yeah, France.
You going now?
Yeah.
Is it half term already, isn't it?
Yeah, half term. Yeah. Getting a week for the first time this year.
Not seems any time since we've been
back to the system, isn't it?
There now.
That's the installment.
Stonehaven Folk Festival, right? When there are banjo players and guitar players and singers, it's a serious. It's a folk festival, but one of the less serious competitions is the paper and comb contest. You know, they cover the comb with tissue paper and make like a kazoo, right? So there was an article in the Scotsman one morning that the people who previously sponsored the combs had withdrawn their sponsorship, and the Stonehaven Folk Festival were needed combs. So I saw this and I thought, right, Bernie, getting anything about free publicity. So I got in touch with them and asked them, you know, what was going on, and they told me. And so I sponsored them, I sent them up 250 combs. And then I went up on the day of the competition, and we kind of judged the competition and had a bit of fun up there. They had different age groups. I mean, they had kiddies, and they had sort of teenagers, and then they had adults. You know. But all the kids got a prize. Okay, I mean, there was no winner, all the kids won, you know, I mean, there's about half a dozen kids and they all got a certificate, you know. It was just a fun thing, you know. And so I got a fair bit of publicity, you know. Sunday, was in the Sunday Post. Me and Rolly were in the Sunday Post, me and Fat Bob. Since we've been here since the New Year, alright, yeah? You get through Christmas and New Year, okay? This is usual, eh?
The normal fortnight,
aye. Many people say, you can't get in here, Bernie, you can't get in here. Never, ever. No, even, but what's the point? You work in a shop full of barbers, you didn't stand here and cut your own hair, do you? And I'll tell you another thing, boys, before you ask, and we're all boys together in here, I have never, ever heard the phrase, something for the weekend, sir. I have never heard a barber say that to anybody, and I've been cutting hair for over 40 years.
They used to say that when you were learning to shave with an open razor, they teach you to shave on balloons. Rubbish. You can't teach anybody anything on a balloon. No, you've got to use a real face.
No, that's another fallacy.
No, my father was an upholsterer. My mother was a tailoress. No, there's no hairdressing back. I had an uncle who was a barber. One of my mother's brothers, strangely enough, Uncle Morris. Uncle Morris was a barber. He had his own shop up in Ox Gangs for a wee while. But things were even difficult for him, and I had to sell it. And he just worked around some of the shops in Edinburgh until he retired. But he's also passed on.
much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
When I've been in here 27 years, and when I first came together, it was three butchers. There was a wet fish shop, there was a baker's, a good fruit shop. But I was here before the Cameron Tour opened. And when the Cameron Tour opened, within 2 years, all these shops were away, gone, closed down. Because people started to go to the one-stop shop. Damien had and his father had a fruit shop along the road here, which is now a pizza parlour. There was one big fruit shop at one time. And I remember going home when I no long started here and saying to my wife, you want to see this fruit shop? They're queuing up at 8 o'clock in the morning to get in. I mean, the fruit was absolutely first class, top class quality. And I'd never seen people, you know, queuing up outside a fruit shop. And then the butchers were the same. Where Ladbrokes the bookie is, was Brecon Brothers, the butcher. The shop that's now the Indian restaurant, Dujon. When I first came here, it was a shoe shop. It was Bain and Duckett's shoe shop. Positano, the Italian restaurant. Years back, there was a girl selling interior decorating, cutting material and fancy wallpaper. And before that, it was a gas showroom. And before that, it was a motor car showroom. The Buttercup Dairy. There was a dairy called the Buttercup Dairy. There are branches all over the place. That's now the charity shop. And the inside of their door, the inner door, the panel in the inner door, behind that panel, It's a tiled mural of a field with cows in it and buttercups. That was a logo. It's absolutely fabulous. They kept it. Tommy Lane, he had the paper shop, it's now the bicycle shop. He was also very kind to me when I first came here. Very helpful. You know, you could see a greenhorn business sort of thing. They helped me, give me a bit of advice, what to watch for, what not to watch for, what to do and what not. You know, a wee bits of advice. I like a lot of the blues music. Aye, we're quite into Muddy Waters and Snooks Eaglin and kind of Sleepy John Estes, all that kind of stuff. Aye. Rolling Stones, Chuck Berry. Aye. It's quite universal sort of taste. I get the Mojo magazine there and if I need anything, the magazine, kind of, one of the guys sends away for it and the websites and stuff. Aye. Okay, one or two lads come in and we discuss things different. But one guy's, there's a band called, High Voltage. They're a rock and roll band. Then, you know, a 1950s style rock and roll band. He's a drummer, he comes in, you know, and they always tell me when they're playing gigs or one or two of the guys got the Spider's Web to the rock and roll nights. And in the 60s in Edinburgh, there's a lot of good clubs. Well, the Bally was here, and there was Magoo's, and there was the Top Story Club. We dives, they were wee sweat boxes, but they were good fun. You know, the big bands used to come, you know. There's quite a lot of Billy J. Kramer, Sir Lack, Sandy Shaw, they all came at one time around. The Beatles, I never went to see the Beatles when they came. I didn't bother with the Beatles. When I saw Bob Dylan for 10 and 6, 50 pence in the what's now the Regal at, I think they call it the Odeon now, at Lothian Road. Well, most of the guys that I worked with when I was young, most of them were retired. You know, some of the lads that I worked with, there was a wee group of us. At one time we used to go to Regent Road when I was studying for the City and Guilds. But most of these guys have retired. Robert's retired, Harvey, there's another guy, Harvey, he's retired, John's retired. I think I'm the only one with that. Oh, Ronnie, my pal Ronnie, who did show up at Ratcliffe Tennis, he retired last year. Ronnie and I went to night school together. So, yeah, I think in that age group, when we're a wee group of barbers, I think I'm stopped with, no, and it's still working. I'm dead but I'm not lying down, I think that's what it is. I mean, I'm quite happy to keep working away, and touch wood, I've been quite lucky with health-wise, you know. I'm not putting the hex on myself, I've not been too bad over the years, you know. And I didn't see any real reason to retire, I've been enjoying myself. like a wee brush in here, don't you? Peter Jack, don't you?
Yeah,
right, Alan, thank you very much.
Stand by me, stand by me. Whenever.